First, I want to review the last three shiurim before we have tonight's shaila. The first of the series, we said, was if you hire someone, even though it was just an oral commitment, but he didn't start walking there. You called him, said, "Can you babysit? Can you look at my teeth? Can you take my case?" Right? You hire a doctor, a lawyer, a babysitter, a lawnmower, all these cases, and then you change your mind before they started working. They have no monetary claim against you, but they do have tarumas. They can have complaints against you for they were counting on it, and then you canceled on them. And if there's no good reason for you canceling on them, you could also be called a mechusrei amana. You're calling someone who is lacking integrity. Right? That is canceling when there's an oral agreement. If your cancellation caused them loss, like we talked about the case where the teacher got canceled the week before school and he had just turned down a job at another school, and now with a week to go he can't find another job, so then you have to pay for that loss. In normal cases you'll pay only total bottle, like an inactive worker, what they would rather take to not have to work. In the case of someone teaching Torah, there the halacha is that they're like these muscle men of Mechoza who don't want to take off, and they get paid full pay, unless the Beis Din sees that this teacher doesn't mind the time off. But I just saw today that I said by a Rav, it's not like that. A teacher likes to teach every single day, they lose their edge. But someone who just passed some shilas here and there like this, so they don't mind having time off. They get to pull a bottle if they get sacked. So that was the first 2 weeks. The last week we discussed the case of the Matseva, and there we learned that if the workers already started working, right, they already started working, or they were walking to the job, or there was a kinyan, and we spoke about which type of kinyan is a good kinyan, but if they had already started the job, so then even though you didn't cause them a loss, meaning they could not have had any other job anyway, and you hire them, and now you stop them in the middle, once they start working, they have a certain type of shibur on you. You're committed to pay them that amount for the term that you hired them for. And if you stop them in the middle, you have to pay them the full amount, unless they'll be inactive, then you pay in kapal batel, like an inactive worker. Okay, so the teacher will be the full pay. We spoke about all those different cases last week. So tonight I want to present you a shaila that came up, this is around 600 years ago. It's by the Marach Arzurua. Marach Arzurua is the son of the Arzurua. The Arzurua is the Rishon. The wise name to say for Arzurua. He had a shaila, how to spell Akiva. Do you spell Akiva, Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Aleph, or do you spell it with a hey at the end? Do you spell Akiva with an Aleph at the end or hey at the end? So that night he got a dream. Arzurua Latzadik Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. And if you take the last letters of that pasuk, it spells Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, with a hey. Right? Arzo Ruwa Ayin La Tzadik. It's a kuf. And that's hey. So he named his sefer Arzo Ruwa. We spell it with an aleph, even though the story. But the Yerushalmi has it with a hey. The Bali has it with an aleph. Okay, so this shul sefer is by his son. He's also a rishon, the Marach Arzo Ruwa. And he has a case like this. The Baal HaBayis hired a sofer to write him a Tanakh. But those days, that didn't mean lav dafka sefer Torah. It meant because they didn't have printing presses, he wanted to have a Tanakh in his house. And there's no stone Tanakh in those days. Unless it was stone. They had a parchment. There was no printing press. So he hired them to write the 24 Svarim. I know it's not like the case we said before, someone writing a sefer Torah where you don't want to have two handwritings. That's not the issue over here. He wanted to have a Tanakh in his house. And he caught Tzatzimo, he set up with him. He set up that I'll pay you a little bit in advance. When you finish the Torah section, I'll give you another advance for the Nevi'im. When you finish the Navi section, I'll give you a third advance for the Ksuvim. And he had everything. He had collateral. Everything was set. The surfer said he's ready to go. And he started working. But in the middle of the work, the king imposed a tax on the whole city, and the tax was very high. He lost two-thirds of his possession. The Baal HaBayis lost two-thirds of his possession, and now he tells the sofer, look, things have changed, I can't afford it anymore. And the sefer says, look, things changed for you, but things changed for me also. A deal's a deal. I already started the work, and I deserve full pay. Right? So, what's it sound like? Right? The work had started. It sounds like the Matzeva case, right? They had started making the Matzeva. In the middle, he fires them because of the mistake they made, which we said wasn't worthy of being fired. And it should be the same thing. Ein-related questions that we'll discuss tonight, right, everyone? We'll also have to talk about a case where, let's say the case you have, we spoke last week of, you have someone hired to take your children to school. So you hired a school bus, right? The school bus takes your children to school. In the middle of the year, you decide to stop the school bus. So last week we said that would be like the Matzeva case, and you still have to pay, unless there was, you know, an understanding ahead of time. But let's say you stopped it because you got a cut in pay, you couldn't afford it anymore, or your source of income that was going to pay for it fell apart, or you decided to send your child to a different school in the middle of the year, so you don't need a school bus taking them to that school because they're going to another school now, right? That's all these different circumstances that could come up. Okay, so what's the din of an onus? So Gemara starts on the same Gemara's in Bamitziya Ayin Vavamabes. Amar Rava. Rava said, Haiman to Agar Agiri Rivka. If someone hired workers to dig ditches in his field, Va'asa Mitra Amalya Maya, and it rained before the workers got there, it rained and filled the field with water, and you can't dig it. They come, they can't dig. So the Gemara Rava says it depends on the following factor. Isaira la'ari mehorta, if the employer checked out the land the previous night and he saw that it was really fit to work, and it just overnight it rained and he didn't realize it. So then say to the Poland, the workers lose out, they don't have to be paid because, like we're saying, that's an onus. Right? He had no way of knowing. He checked the field the night before. He saw that it was ready to work, ready to go, and then all of a sudden he wakes up in the morning. There's a flood. It's not his fault. Lo sari la arimi orta. But if he didn't inspect the land the night before, then it's a pseudo de balabayas. He has to pay them because he's a posheya. The rishonim say it's his fault. He should have checked it. The yoyv lukapel batu. He doesn't pay them the full wages because they're not going to be working. He pays them that amount, like an inactive worker, what they would be willing to take to have the day off. Right? So this introduces this issue that even though normally he should be chayav to pay them, if it's an onus, he had checked the field, he did everything humanly possible, and something happened that made it impossible for them to work, he doesn't have to pay them.
I'm surprised Gemara doesn't talk about when it rained. I mean, he inspects it the night before.
Right, it must have rained overnight.
Right. But why is his inspection the critical question?
In other words, you're asking, and this is a person point out, why doesn't he have to inspect it in the morning? Why doesn't he have to wake up in the middle of the night to go out there in the morning and 3 in the morning?
He knows that it rains, and it rained so hard that...
Well, they don't know. Obviously, he's talking where they didn't, you know, this is farther away. That's why it's not his backyard. Otherwise, he doesn't have to inspect it the night before. He can inspect it that morning also and give him a phone call. He's talking where he, you know, it's a mahalach to get there. It takes a while. So at night he checked it. We're not mechayiv him to go in the middle of the night, that he should check it first thing in the morning in time to stop them. That's beyond the call of duty. And not checking it the night before to give them time to give himself time to cancel them coming, that's called a pshia. Let's see the next case. Amarav said another case. Haiman de ogir agure le davla. He hired workers to irrigate his field. In the middle of the day, the river which they use for irrigation stopped flowing, so they couldn't irrigate it anymore. So the halacha is like this, and this is the important rules here. Ilo aved de pasig, if the river usually is viable, it usually doesn't stop, so then pseida de poelin. So that's caught in anus, and the workers lose out because what should I do? Even though they have started working, right, like the Matzeva case, they have started working, but over here I can't help it. This thing never stops. And all of a sudden, the river stopped. I'm an onus. I don't have to pay you for work you didn't do. But if it's other deposit, if it's normal for it to stop, so then the halacha is like this. If these workers are from town and they also know that the river sometimes stops, say to the polim, then it's their loss. But if they're not from town, then say to the balabais, then he has to pay them as a pole bottle. So what's the rule? The rule, the way the Rama puts it, so the Rishonim put it, the rule is like this. Even though had already started working, and normally we say once they start working, that creates a commitment that you have to pay them for the whole job. If the balabais is onus, it's an ordinary, extraordinary circumstance happened that the work is not available, so then he is pater, but when? That's in a case where he's not a posheya. Right? We're doing two chiddushim tonight. The first chiddush is that if an extraordinary thing happened, an onus happened, the balabais is pater. The river is stopped, the rain washed out the field, an extraordinary thing happened, the balabais is pater. But that heter does not apply where he's a posheya. What's it called? He's a posheya. The Rama puts it down simply. He's called a posheya when he knows something that the workers didn't know and he didn't tell them about it. Right? If it's an onus, the balabais doesn't have to pay. But if it's an onus that he knows happens, he knows it could happen sometimes, and they don't know it could happen, so he should have told them, you know, this river sometimes stops in the middle of the day, and you will have something in just in case it happens, have something else, a backup in case it doesn't work out right this day. Right, like you're saying, if it's something that normally happens, so then he should tell them. If they know it as well as he knows it, so then it's not a pshia anymore. They know it. If it's sometimes the rain, sometimes it doesn't, they know that when they're hired for such a job, sometimes it's going to work out, sometimes it's not, so he doesn't have to pay them. Right? That's mamish, you're telling them. If it's an unusual thing that no one would have expected, so then also, the balabais doesn't have to pay. He's anonymous. Okay, so I'm going to give you a series that's on the second side of the handout, a series of shayles and shuvos about cases, and we'll try that. I think that'll help us understand this halacha better. The first is not shayles shuvos. The first is the rush. The rush on this gemara over here in Bamei Tzia Daf Ayin Zayin says very relevant shayla. He says, Mikan Pasuk Rabbeinu Yoel. The rush quotes a Rishon Rabbeinu Yoel, who says that if someone hired a Rebbe to teach his son, right, he hired a tutor for his son. We've spoken about this many times. We had a whole shiur, what happens if the tutor got sick, or the poel got sick, or he had to go to a chasana, or something happened. So there we said he doesn't get paid for the time he doesn't work, but he has the upper hand for the time that he did work, right? He doesn't lose any rights. Here we're talking the other way. It's not that the worker got sick, it's not the Rebbe got sick, it's the Talmud got sick. Right, the Talmud got sick. And the same halach will be, it's very relevant, if the Talmud is not a child, the Talmud could be a balabas, and all of a sudden something happened, his wife had a baby, and he couldn't make it that day to the Seder, and right, does he have to pay? Because, look, the Rebbe was there, he was there during his time, it's not his fault. So what's the halacha? So the Rosh says, if it's not common for the Talmud to get sick, you know, he's a healthy child, he never gets sick, say to the Malamed. The Rebbe doesn't get paid. He didn't work that day. He doesn't get paid. Even though you hired him for this block of time, for this school year, for this day, and he's there ready and waiting, and your child doesn't show up, but it's an onus. You couldn't help it. It's an unusual thing. And if the child does get sick, he gets cold, he gets sick sometimes, and he misses. So then, if the Malamed, the Rebbe, is in the city, Talmud, and he knows that this child sometimes gets sick, so then he loses out again. The only time he'll get paid is, like we said before, if the father knows something that he doesn't know. The father knows that this child gets allergic reactions whenever he sees a cat, and the Rebbe doesn't know such a thing. He doesn't know about that. and there's a lot of cats in the neighborhood, and every other day he's getting sick. So then the Rebbe could say, look, I was depending on his income. You knew something that you didn't tell me about. You knew that your child gets sick every other day, and you didn't tell me about it, and I'm not around the neighborhood to know that that's what happens, so you have to pay me. That's the Rosh's psa. So the Rosh is extrapolating from the Gemara's case of the worker coming to work in the field for a Rebbe teaching a child. If the child does not show up because of an onus, so then the father does not have to pay the Rebbe, he does not have to pay the tutor, as long as he didn't know something that the Rebbe didn't, he didn't know something that the Rebbe didn't know. Right, so that's a good question, and I would say even in this question, even in this is a little strange. Not strange because, like we said a few times, that if there's a minhag hamakom, or there's a contract or an understanding, so then certainly that overrides these halachas. These halachas are when there is no overriding minhag hamakom, and certainly when you have a tuition, there the besides minhag hamakom, there the understanding is you're getting a space in the school for this amount of time, and I think that would be the case with the school bus also. But it's not that you pay them $50 a month, and now at the end you say, well, my kid didn't go this amount of days, but I think the deal is in the beginning that you're paying this much per month, and whether they come or not, I mean, it's best to speak it out. But if, in case it's not spoken out, and then you find out what the minhag hamakom is, if there's no minhag hamakom, so then you could say, look, she got sick, I couldn't help it, and I'm not going to pay, right? And that would be the case with the school also. There's a shaila with the school who exactly the employee that is over there, because the Rebbe's really teaching and you're paying the school, that non-profit organization, so it could be the whole thing with the school doesn't count. But I think that the main answer is that it depends on what the minhag hamakom is. But this is what the Rosh says, and this is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin is in Simen Shin Lamed Daled, that a case that you are hired to tutor someone and the child does not show up, if it was an onus, the father doesn't have to pay you. And certainly if the father it's a grown up and the father gets sick and doesn't show up, so he doesn't have to pay you. It wasn't his fault. If he just decides to sleep late, right, it wasn't an onus, right, and you had already started your job, and certainly if it was a davar halavi, you could have had something else, so then he has to pay you like a pola bottle or maybe full price if you're a Rebbe, right? That would depend on the circumstance. Okay, so that's halach from the Rosh. So the Ma'arach Arzuro, that case we saw, we'll come back to that at the end. There's a Tshuva Divrei Yosef I have in this sefer on the Schiras. He brings down the shy like this. Someone had a shoe factory and he hired a lot of workers to make the shoes, but it was a slow year that year. Business was bad, and it was bad throughout the city, and he had to lay off some workers. He didn't have enough business to, he didn't need to keep on making shoes because there wasn't anyone buying them. So this Divrei Yosef Paskin, that's not called an onus, right? Because he says, his lashon is, Yiridas Bale Bayis Minichseihem, when Bala Batim lose their possessions, that's common. Hashem makes ladders. Sometimes you're going up the ladder, sometimes you're going down the ladder, right? People have good times and bad times. Things go good, business goes bad. So that's not called an onus. In other words, this is what the Sefer brings it down, says, you have a factory, and you know your factory has ups and downs. Sometimes business is good, sometimes business is slower. When you hire a worker, you have to tell them, you should know that things might go bad, and I might not need your services for the entire year. If we have a slow season, then I'm not going to pay you during that time. I'm going to let you off. If you don't say that, so that's not called an onus. That's a psak from the Divrei Yosef. The thing is that with other sefer, with the Ma'arach HaZeruah, let's see that thing now, and then we're going to have to see the difference between them. The Ma'arach HaZeruah has a similar case, right? There it's not so much business cycle, there it's the king made a tax. The king made a tax, where I would think the stock market crashed, right? Or the stocks that this person had, the stock went bankrupt, whatever it was, something happened. The Maharaj Hazirul's case, right? He hired someone to write the Tanakh, the case we started with. He hired someone to write the Tanakh, and in the middle, he lost 2/3 of his wealth, and he wants to get out. So the Maharaj Hazirul Paskin, you have to see. If with the wealth he has left, people generally don't spend money writing Tanakh, so then he can get out of their job and say that this was an onus and not have to pay. If people with, you know, he was a millionaire, now he has 1/3 of a million, it's not so terrible, he could still afford to write a Tanakh, so then he can't get out of it. Right? This guy's thinking he lost 2/3 of a million. But the poor Tanakh guy says, look, I'm not going to make 1/3 of a million my whole lifetime. Right? So you should still pay me. So that's what the Maharaj Hazirul says is dependent on. Well, people with this amount of money, we don't care where he's coming from, where he's going. At this point, is it a normal thing for him to spend money on the Tanakh or not? If it is, he has to pay for it, and if not, he doesn't have to. So these two tshuvas seem to be disagreeing with each other. The Maharaj Hazirul is saying, when the guy lost his money due to the tax, he can get out of it if it's something that people in his financial bracket don't usually buy now. But the Divrei Yosef said that if it's a slow season, he can't get out of it. He has to still pay the workers. Right? Do you hear a way of reconciling these two tshuvas? Well, this Nesiva Sacher says this answer. He says that, you know, cycles happen. Come in, people, there's like the ladder, there's up the ladder, people are going up the ladder, down the ladder. That's normal. That's something you don't have to, that's something that you can call an onus and say, look, I didn't realize such a thing would happen. You know that sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But a stock market crash, well, that might also be like, let's just say these two. But the king coming and imposing a tax, that's an unlikely occurrence. That's an onus. Right? You can't say, in other words, what from these two is you see, you can't say that you had a financial, problem, a financial challenge, that isn't necessarily called an onus, because it's going to depend what caused it. If it's something that you should have known about and should have told him. Like, let's say you had, you were very leveraged in stocks, and your whole payment was going to come from that stock, and you hire someone for a year contract, so then maybe you should tell him, you should know that if the stock goes down, you're out of a job. And always, you don't have to tell him the name of the stock, but you could tell him, right? Yeah, but I think there's a risk here. Right, I think that's a normal thing, that there's a risk and there's something you know that he doesn't know, and if you hire him and he's depending on the income for the year and you know that your whole business is dependent on this one fact, on this one stock or two stocks or the stock market, and if that goes, and it does go every so often, you're going to not have the money to run the business anymore. So that's something you should share with him, and if you didn't, that would be called a pshia. But if it's something that's completely unusual, right, you have normal money, you have a normal, whatever they say, to diversify, everything's normal, and in your last 20 years, nothing like that ever happened, and all of a sudden something happens, a tax comes, or it's the crash of 29, like something really bad, so that I think would be called an onus. I mean, the crash of, if there's a Maxim Medina, that might make it different also, but that's the chilk that he says. A financial problem, a financial change in financial backturn is not going to be necessarily an onus unless it's something that's really unusual. If it's just the standard ups and downs of business, you can't take that as you can't use that as an excuse. So in the case of the school bus, right, the school bus. So why is it you want to take the kid off the school bus now? Why is it that you don't have the money? So it'll depend. If it's something, if you had to move out of town, you got a new job out of town, so then certainly that's something that's understandable. You shouldn't have to pay, unless, once again, the minig is that you keep the money there. If it's something that, you know, you were depending on someone who's unreliable, you had a job by an unreliable employer, and that's what you're depending to buy the school bus, you should have told that the school bus or the person that you were hiring that you should know that your employment is based on this income that I'm planning on getting, which is a little speculative. And it might not last for you. Right? I think you'd have to tell them that. You don't have to tell them that. I mean, you can hire them without telling them that, but realizing that if something goes wrong, that you have to pay them.
In the academic world, it's not unusual for a person to be told, we're hiring you pending the renewal of our grant.
Right, something like that.
Common.
Right, something like that. There you have to tell them. You know that it's not always going to be renewed. Right, that's a good example. Okay, one last tshuva. The Rivan Stein to Chadanahu Yis Pisri Choshen brings it down. He says a case like this. therefore people hired a teacher for their children, homeschooling, a certain amount per year. And Rahman al-Islam, one of the wives of one of the men died, and they had to send the child to somewhere else. They couldn't take care of the child at home. So he said, since that's an anus, so he's patur from paying. So this isn't really, the child is really able to, it's just like it was an outside factor that happened. Like, I think a comparable thing would be that his job changed, right? And it's more convenient to take the child with him than to keep him here. So that's also called an anus, something that he didn't have any reason to know about more than the other person, in case of a chas v'shalom, a death, or a change, a job change, or something happening. So that is a change in whatever, even though it's not directly nogeya the kid, but it's nogeya the family, that he said is also called, that's also called a anus. Right, so the rules are the same. The rules are what we said in the beginning. The rule is that even though you started working, and normally when you start working, the employer has to commit himself to pay the whole thing. That's true. But if he is terminating the employment because of an anus, something unusual, extraordinary happened, so then he doesn't have to pay, unless it's something he knew about that he should have shared with the employee, then he's called a posheya, and then he has to pay anyway. Right? How you fit it in, I just gave you a few different shahras and shuvas, and I hope that gives a sense of what's called an honest scummer, what's called you didn't need to know. Just one last issue, and that's this, there's a Ramah has a shahras shuva. Here also there was a case, there someone was hired to be a Rav. What happened was they first canceled him. They canceled him first. And then, the time that he would have been there normally, this thing happened, this anus happened, that the big play came and they had to leave anyway. So the shaila was, you know, when they canceled him, he said, look, you canceled him, I was ready to go, and it's a davar halavi, whatever the reason is, you have to pay me. But over here, anyway, it ended up being an anus, so maybe they shouldn't have to pay you. So the Ramah paskins that as soon as they canceled him, that's when they were hired to pay. He canceled him. So what, later something turned up that anyway, you know, they were dumb. They should have waited and then they would have gotten rid of him anyway. But they ended up jumping the gun a little bit too much and they fired him before he even started, and then the play came. So that's, they have to pay him. The Erech Shai says an interesting
svara. Start the job.
So it was either a davar halavi, or he had been walking, he had already been traveling, he had already been preparing for it. Either it was a case where they would have been, they were mechayiv. The way out was that was an anus. The Erech Shai says an interesting svara for it. He says that he has a whole arichas. The Shai Mishpat disagrees with the Ramah, and the Erech Shai defends him. One svara he says is that, what are you telling me, Siddi? You're saying that even if I had come, even if you hadn't fired me, I would have come, and anyway there would have been the plague and we would have had to leave. Who says? It could be that the Zchus HaTorah of this Rav coming in would have stopped the plague from coming. Right? So, that's no excuse. I can't say, well, see what happened anyway. No, that's not an excuse. When they terminated the job wrongly, already they're chayiv at that time, they can't say, well, anyway, all's well that ends well, there was a plague and we all had to leave. Sorry, it could be there wouldn't have been a plague anyway, and you have to do what's the Yashris. They had the right, they had the commitment to keep him, and if they terminate it, they're chayiv.
Even if they're not there, they can say, we changed our mind, you can have the job. No one left.
It's too late. Right, we'll talk about it in the future, shiurim, what's called, you know, how do you fire one, under what circumstances can you fire? But that's the end of these cases. I mean, we've had, I think, seven shiurim on the worker quitting in the middle, the employer quitting in the middle before, what's called a commitment. So I hope things are pretty clear. Just remember, each week was a different case, and that's pretty much the way it's broken down in the Siman Shin Lamed Gimel and Shulchan Aruch. So in 2 weeks from tonight, the Lineider will have a fresh new case.